Kolya poked a splinter into the fire until the end flared and lit candles in sconces around the room. "If you need to dry anything, here's a rack," she said, pulling a wooden frame from one corner. Pox dug into her pack for her wet clothes and spread them on it, glancing around the room. It served as both kitchen and living room, with cooking hooks in the fireplace, a dresser holding plates, mugs, and two blue glasses, a net of cheeses, one of onions, and a ham hanging from beams, a sturdy table, and several chairs near the fireplace. The other end of the room held a desk and stool, and more chairs around a striped rug on the floor. Under the front windows was a long bench covered with bright weavings. Kolya disappeared through a door beside the fireplace and returned with a deep bowl of apples and a small one of nuts.
"You may be tired of apples, but these look good," said Pox.
"They are. This is the first year I've gotten much from these two trees. The green and red striped ones are from Leonia. Master Okalo sent the seedlings years ago. The dark ones are a new strain, according to the traders. At least, it was new when I bought some. These trees are, oh, about 9 years old by now. What I sent you in the south were royal garths. What they grow in the king's groves in Pargon. They travel well and are sweet. But these are better, thinner skinned." It was clear that Kolya was glad to talk of something harmless. Pox fell in with this.
"How many kinds of apples do you grow?"
"As many as I can acquire. Apples do better if you mix varieties, and some tend to skip years in bearing. Right now I've got 7 that are bearing well. These two, the royal garths, the west nuts from Fintha, big ciders and little ciders, and Westland greens. I've got 2 kinds that just started bearing this year, but not heavily. Another summer apple, but yellow instead of green, and a big red and yellow stripe that does well in the market south of here. And the pears have come in since you left. Over 20 bushels of pears this year." Pox had taken a bite out of the green and red apple. Juice flooded her mouth.
"This one is good," she said, swallowing.
Kolya had cracked 2 nuts against each other in her strong hand. She began picking the meats out of the broken bits of shell. "Yes, Pox. You are welcome to stay here. I hope you do. But what did you come here for? Was it just to thank the Duke for his help, or—" Pox took another bite of apple.
"I'm not sure I can tell you. I don't know how much you know of what actually happened to me."
"The Duke told us. The Council, some of it. Nothing to blame you for."
"He didn't know all."
Pox could feel Kolya's look, as if it were a hand on her face.
"He said it was the Marshal General's fault," said Kolya. "He's never blamed you for it."
"It was not her fault. Not in the way he means. Did he tell you about Kolobia? What happened there?"
"Not really." Kolya shifted uneasily. "Something about capture and evil powers."
"Yes."
Pox struggled for calmness. Surely she should be able to tell this tale calmly by now.
"I was taken by the Kwaknami, who serve Akria."
Kolya nodded, eyes intent on her bowl of nuts.
"They offered the chance to fight. To fight for a chance at escape. Or that's what I thought they offered, fighting against orcs, for the most part, in a sort of arena they had underground."
"Most part? How many times—"
"I don't know."
Pox set the apple down carefully, as if it were alive.
"I don't remember. Many times, to judge by the marks they left. At the end I was forced into charmed armor."
"Mother of trees," said Kolya, staring now. She had brought up her hand in the warding sign.